good. It's great church, really landed on my feet there, actually. Dead chuffed that's worked out. Before that, I did 7 years working at the Message Trust. Any of you heard of the Message and Eden and all that kind of stuff, yeah? And I managed a project called The Big Deal, which was all to do with getting churches working together in Salford. Anybody from Salford? Yeah? Good man. Thought there was. I knew Paul was from Salford anyway, actually. Salford really needs the hope of God, doesn't it, actually? Don't you think? Yeah, and so we went there and we did a lot of projects during the year. We did schools weeks. We got the churches working together in a way that they hadn't done before. We built partnerships with the police and the council. And we looked at the part the church can play in making the city a better place to live in. And we know that God's kingdom coming, actually, signs of that are exactly what the council wants to see happen, isn't it? Things improving, greener, better, safer, more neighbourliness, safer feeling out on the streets at night, older people less isolated, children's performance improving at school, less antisocial behaviour, all those kind of things actually are signs of God's kingdom. And we are a people of hope. Turn to the person next to you and say to them, you are a person of hope. Do it now. Yeah? You are a person of hope. That's the reality. Because God gave us that hope. That hope that we can share with others. I was looking in the Bible. It's not a bad place to look from time to time. You pick up some good stuff. And there's a book in the Bible called Hebrews. I don't think that's an instruction to the blokes to make the tea. Yeah, there it is. Hebrews chapter 10, 23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am here to spur you on towards love and good deeds. Do you know that? That is why we are here today. And not only that, you're going to spur one another on towards those love and good deeds as well. We're going to make Lee a better place to live in as a result of the things. We're going to play a part in seeing God's kingdom come to Lee. Because we hold unswervingly to that hope. I don't know about you, but holding unswervingly is quite tricky, isn't it? I tend to get diverted a bit. Any of you have sat navs in your cars? You know, you start listening to the sat-nav and it says, at the next junction, turn right. And you think, nah, you don't want to go that way. I'd rather go left, no much better route. And you start disobeying it and then you finish up in Tesco's car park. You ever done that? I think I don't remember there being a Tesco's here. I'm sure this was a good shortcut. You know, the problem is we need to follow the direction of God the Father, don't we? To hold unswervingly. And the best way to hold unswervingly to something like that is to start with the end in mind. Say it after me. Start with the end in mind. That's how we hold unswervingly to anything. Because the reality is, if you just start thinking about the beginning, you don't go anywhere. If you start thinking about the end, where you want to get to, then you've got something to aim for, haven't you? So what we're going to be doing today is looking at some vision and how we can actually have vision to make a bigger difference in this community. And so what we want to do is think about, where do we want to get to? In a year's time, in 5 years' time, what would we love to see happen in our town here? What difference could we make? That's about starting with the end in mind. Now, the thing is about when you know what your destination is, where you're going, when you hit the obstacles along the way, it helps you to press on through them. There was one time we were all in a car and we were going to stay. We're going to visit some relatives and we've got a lot of presents and stuff. And guess what? We're on a motorway. We hit a traffic jam. The car's steaming up. We've got the dog in the back. The kids are kicking off. You know, there was nothing worth listening to on the radio. We were feeling pretty dismal. Do we just take the next exit and we go home? Do we give up at that point? Or do we think, hang on, why are we on this journey? We're on this journey because we love these people that we're going visiting. We've got presents we want to celebrate with those people. So that kept us persevering, kept us going along the journey when we were struggling, because we knew what the end was. What's the end for us as Christians? What's the hope we profess? Eternal life. God will come again in Jesus. That we'll have a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth. All will be made good. Do you know there'll be no beer bellies or bald heads in heaven? Do you realize there'll be no bad hair days? It's something to look forward to, isn't it? We can see, we're people of hope because we hope in something that is fabulous. But we don't want to keep that to ourselves, do we? We want to share that. We want to get to heaven and take as many people with us as we possibly can. Because as the people of hope looking forward to that, that is the hope we profess to others. And so let's hold unswervingly, knowing that the end's in mind. So to get us into thinking about how we might do that, how we might make this difference in our community, I brought some friends with me here. Just give us a wave, guys, over there. So we've got Bernice and Jean and Megan and Anne and Matt. We are the Hope Task Force, yeah? We've come, you know, when they went to the Falklands, yeah? We're like the Armada coming into Lee, the Hope Task Force with messages of hope for you guys. And they're going to share some stories with you as we go along of what we did last year in St. Peter's, in Halliwell and Smithells area of Bolton, where we did like a year of hope, loads of different mission projects and stuff like that. And as Eric introduced, during the late summer and into the autumn and the end of the year, we're going to go for it and do a season of hope, a season of invitation, lots of opportunities. But what we don't want to be is that season just to be you being told what we're going to do. Actually, we want you to decide what we should do. Because I believe, and the leadership here believe, that God really speaks through his people. And the Holy Spirit inspires us with ideas and passions and burdens for certain things. And so we're going to spend some time talking through what that might be, how God might be directing us and calling us and inspiring us to reach out to our community. So watch this short video clip as an intro to it, and then we'll tell you a few more stories of what we've done. Okay. Thank you. Pretty good? Yeah? So, we've got a bit of a PowerPoint now. I'm going to look through some examples of the kind of areas that we worked in during the year. So, who was first? Now a team over there. What's first? Just click on the first one. Hope Out Loud, who was that? Megan, come on, Megan, give us some encouragement. Come on, Megan. Have we got a handheld mic, Eric? So, Megan, what was Hope Out Loud? What did we do?
So, it was on the first Saturday of every month. The church, like, gathered together to do acts of kindness. So, some of them, like, were to do with, like, main events that might be happening that month.
Yeah.
For example, like, in February, we gave out love hearts with, like, Bible verses attached to them, just to the public. And we do that for an hour. Some of them are more, like, they take more time of the public. So we do cake decorating, where the people have to, like, take the time to come over, yeah, decorate the cakes, and then you can get into more of a, like, a conversation. And there's been, like, people who are asking for prayer off the people that were serving.
Yeah. So we did, like, giving away cupcakes, they could decorate themselves.
Yeah, helium balloons.
And you could tie a prayer on that and send it up as a prayer. I think we've got some pictures of that kind of thing.
Shoe shining.
And every month, we called it Hope Out Loud because actions speak louder than words. And so it's about, and, you know, not everyone's that keen on just going to a stranger in the street and telling them about Jesus just like that. Some people are a bit shy about that kind of stuff. So we thought, well, give them something, you know, that might get a bit of a conversation going. And that's what's happened. We've had some amazing experiences. Well done, Megan. Next one. What's coming up next? Mother's Day gifts. Did we decide who was going to do Mother's Day gifts? Is it me? Yeah. So just next slide. So what we have a parents and toddlers group at St. Peter's. In fact, we have three. We have four churches in the parish, and three different churches run them. And we thought, how can we reach out and bless new mums? So we did little pamper packs, and we actually gave them out all over Bolton through the health visitors to bless people like that. So a dead simple project, and a lot of the mums, many of whom don't go to church and stuff, donated money and stuff towards those pamper packs. So it was really great the difference that made. What's next? Lighten the load, Bernice, give her a clap. Come on, Bernice. So Bernice goes to St. Andrew's Church. That's a church on a council estate on Johnson Fold. I know your rector, Tony Butterworth, was involved there, weren't you, at one time many years ago. Tell us about Lighten the Load, Bernice.
Lighten the Load was where the whole of the parish of St. Peter's collected donations. So a lot of people made a donation. And we were able then to put money onto the cards that people have who are needy for their electric and their gas bills. So we actually put money onto their cards for them so they could have heating or use electric to cook food. So we did that within the centre, at Hope Centre at St Andrews, but also had other people from other areas coming in. So the water people came in, utilities. They came in and told people how they could save money and do all different, you know, on different things. People came to cook to show people how they could grow their own food and also cook food at a much cheaper rate. So that was lighten the load, and it went down really well. I don't think there was anybody that went away without money on their either their gas or electric for them to help them. And that was just purely donations from the parish.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Thanks, Bernice. And I think the thing with lighten the load is we got loads of other local partners together. You know, people like debt support, the utilities companies, the housing authority, the council, all came together. The church brought unity together in the community across all those different organisations. And so much so that actually they said to us, will you do another one? Because people in the community loved it so much. Next area is Icing Pop. I think some of you might know Amanda Roberts at Christchurch, who's involved with Icing Pop. And she came, actually. It was Amanda we'd got who came and did the work with one of our local primary schools. Am I doing this one? Yeah, I am. Right. I Sing Pop, as you know, is a project working with with children, teaching them songs with Christian words in. At the end of the week, they record a CD and they do a concert. And Church Road Primary School isn't a church, even though it's on Church Road. It's not a church primary school, it's just a state one. And we've got a few links. We did the odd assembly there. But this project just deepened those links massively. And so much so that the concert at the end of the week, the parents who are normally pretty rubbish at going to stuff at the school, actually, all turned out en masse, and we had a massive concert there, and it was just fantastic. In fact, I'll tell you a little story. I was in the barber's a few weeks ago getting my hair cut, and another guy walked in, and he was like looking at his watch, and he said, look, you know, could you save me place in the queue, because I've got to go and pick my daughter up. She's at Church Road School. And I said, oh, Church Road. I said, that's where we did the I Sing Pop. You know, did you know about that? Know about it, he said. She never stopped playing the CD in the car. Every time we go anywhere, put the I Sing Pop CD on. You know, and I think there's a guy, you just meet, and you get into conversation, don't you? The way that these sort of projects have an impact. So that was I Sing Pop. And what we also did with it, actually, I should just add, that we did a party in the park, and we got them on the main stage to perform there as well. So it was a great opportunity to raise the profile of the school's work in the community, and obviously give the children that opportunity to perform like that. Next one, Anne's coming. Give us some encouragement. Yeah. Now, I think you were involved with this week of Pray Love Greater Manchester, weren't you, and the 24/7 prayer. So just tell us a bit about our experience of that.
Yeah. Afternoon. Mm. It's all from this side, isn't it? So I thought I'd get you involved.
Yeah.
As Alan said, we're four churches that make up the parish, four really different churches. And we committed to pray for a whole week, as I know yourselves did. But what was amazing about it, I mean, apart from I was actually managing to cover most of the days, most of the slots, was that we came together as the four churches and prayed as four churches together. And that's something that we don't often do. And the feedback from that has been incredible.
Yeah.
The connections that we've made of that has been amazing.
Yeah.
Some of the feedback was, you know, as people walked into the room, which is just the church lounge, they felt like they were walking into the arms of Jesus. So some absolutely amazing, amazing feedback from that week of prayer. And we covered Party
every
in
hour.
The Park. We covered every hour,
yeah.
But we prayed long and hard about Party in the Park, which I think
he's coming up
he's
next.
Coming on next.
That was slick, that.
It gets
slick.
Better.
Yeah, I was impressed.
And what was amazing
that.
Is that we had a wonderful sunshine at Party
in
the Park.
Yeah. Andy Hawthorne, I used to work with at the Message Trust, had a saying. He said, the battle's in the prayer and everything else is the mopping up exercise. You know, actually, we're going to see real breakthroughs with our mission and stuff. We need to pray it through, don't we? And then we've won the battle. Then when we go out there, well, it's mopping up, isn't it? God's done the work. And I think that it's really getting on the front foot of prayer that's underpinning everything we do. And as Anne said, it's a great force for building unity amongst the churches as well. So that was our week of prayer. We finished it with a big evening of worship. Next thing, Party in the Park. Give Matt some encouragement. Yes. Okay, he's got his iPhone ready with his bullet points on. It's impressive.
I should be all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've run it this year, Party in the Park, as well, and this morning I've been launching it, so this is service number 6.
Yeah.
So I should be all right by now. Yeah, so Party in the Park, I'll tell you a bit about the vision for it. We've got 3 points. It's to provide a fun day for all the community, which is almost entirely free for visitors. We want to build and strengthen the community links between churches, schools, community groups, public sector organisations, and just people of goodwill within our communities, and to provide effective opportunities to share the gospel message of hope. So that was the vision we went out with, and this is the results. So we had an event in the park. We started with an open-air church service, 11 till 12, that was for the four churches united, bringing us all together, but also it was quite seeker-sensitive, bring your friends along kind of thing. And then the party started at 12 o'clock. We had the Gazebo Village, it was named, wasn't it? So all different, there was, I think, 30-plus organisations that all came along and brought a stall, brought an attraction. So that was open up until 4:30. Then we had the main stage. So we had the I Sing Pop performance, various different primary schools, bands, community groups, all coming doing performances. We had about 3,000 people into the park on the
day. So tell us what's happened so far this year.
So this year we want to go bigger and better, so we've stepped out and gone for it. So we've everyone that came last year has agreed to come again, so we're looking for more community partners who are coming thick and fast. And we've added a grand finale concert onto the end. So we're not going to finish at 4:30, we're going right through till 7:00. We've got a couple of bands from The Message booked. I Sing Pop have launched a band, so they're coming along and performing in the evening.
Bolton's Got Talent.
Yeah, and we're having a Bolton's Got Talent sort of showcase thing.
Yeah.
It's not going to be an open stage, it's like they're being pre-checked. So it's more of a showcase of what's going on. And so I've brought a few leaflets, quick plug.
Tell us what's happened on Facebook since I put you there, because amazing, isn't it?
So we made a Facebook page just over a week ago. It's already had 800 likes, and when you build a page, it gives you the sort of the reach. It's reached 25,000 people
already. Isn't that amazing?
So, yeah.
So that's the church reaching 25,000 people in a week. You know, where could that go in the next 6 weeks? You know, massive, isn't it? So we brought some flyers for that, because we'd love some of you guys to come along, actually, on the 28th of June, because I hope you get some ideas and inspiration from joining in. In fact, if you want to bring a gazebo and do anything, or, you know, maybe if you've got some talent you want to join in with, we could, you know, Bolton's got talent, we can spread it out a bit, can't we? You know, others can come and start joining with us. Now, I think the last thing we're looking at is the Smithills Christmas Market. We haven't got any pictures of that, but Anne, you're going to talk about that, aren't you, again? I love this project, because it's like a whole bunch of neighbours working together in on one street of the parish.
You'll hopefully notice on the video we have people dressed up as Father Christmas and Christmas hats on. Well, that was a Christmas market.
Yeah.
Smithills is a community-based church. We worship in the local primary school, and we slap bang in the middle of a community that we hopefully serve. Lots of those people, when we have events at the school, the church, they come when it's a school event, but when it's a church event, they don't kind of come along. So what we wanted to do was to do something in the community, for the community. So, yeah, as Alan said, we took over Red Car Road. We asked all the community, we said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a Christmas fair, a Christmas market. Do you want to get involved? We didn't have anybody protesting, which was a good positive sign. And we had 22, I think it was, houses that said, yeah, we want to get involved. You can either use our drive for a gazebo, or we'll provide a stall. And there was a whole range of things. There was baking, there was a young lad that dressed up as Father Christmas and was in the goals to take a shot against Santa, lots of different crafts, and it was just fantastic that those people, some that are involved in church and some that are not involved in church, were prepared to fundraise. And we actually fundraised for one of our mission partners, which is Urban Outreach, and we raised £18,000. No, £1,800. £18,000 this year's target. £1,800. But what's more important is that we built those relationships within the community.
Yeah. I think the thing I loved about it was the fact it was like all the neighbours working together. You didn't have to go to church. But God works in communities, doesn't he, actually? It's not just through the church. Thanks, Sam. Good work. So, I mean, there's a little taster of a few things we did. The reality is we did over 40 different mission projects during the year last year, and the momentum's carried on through this year. We're still doing Hope Out Loud every month. We're doing the party in the park. You know, we're looking at the plans of how we could use, you know, the main sort of seasons of the year, things like Christmas and Easter and Harvest and Remembrance and Pentecost, to really kind of get out there with that gospel message and make mission a higher priority on the agenda. So what I'd like us to do now is have a chat about it. We call it Talking Hope. Get some buzz going, get conversations. And to help with that process, I've got we've got sheets here with four questions on. And the questions are, what are the needs in your church, community, and on your front lines, yeah? So in the world around here, what are the needs? What would you like to see happen? What can you do? And finally, what help or support would you need to do that? So I've allocated about 15, 20 minutes, so sort of 5 minutes on each of those question areas to do that. So you up for that? So I don't know how you want to do it, whether you just want to make a circle amongst where you are, so get five or six people in each group, or whether you want to go back onto the tables or something like that. I usually cause chaos whenever I go anywhere, so just mix it up and we'll ascribe somebody with a job of writing the stuff down and get talking.